In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. I would like to begin the sermon by first of all congratulating all of the sisters who have taken steps in the religious life, and especially our sister who is going to be taking her final vows right before she receives Holy Communion. As you know, ordinarily the sisters take their religious steps at Mount St. Michael's, but we decided that because of the restrictions that are imposed by the state of Washington, it would be better not to have any type of concerns about spacing or any of the regulations, so we thought it'd be best just to come to the City of Mary here, to Mary Immaculate Queen Church. And on this occasion, we also think of how God in His providence, nothing happens without God knowing it. Our Lord tells us the very hairs of our head are numbered. So in God's providence, we have the religious taking their steps here, where really the congregation began. This was the first church of the congregation. And many of you, I call you old timers, you remember the smaller church, the simple basement, the small little red school, and the original place that is now the Minor Seminary. And over the years, how things have truly, like a grain of mustard seed, grown. So it is providential that we have this ceremony here, and not only that, but especially on this feast of our Mother of Perpetual Help. When you give a sermon, you like to primarily address those sisters and religious taking their steps, but you also want to include everyone. And on this Feast of Our Mother Perpetual Help, we look to Jesus and how significant is every aspect of that image of Our Lady and the Christ Child. We see on either side of Jesus and Mary, angels holding the instruments of the Passion. We see our Lord's sandal falling off. And according to tradition, our Lord ran to His mother, symbolized by the sandal falling off. He ran because of the forethought of the sufferings He would endure for us to redeem us. But the very, to me, key aspect of this image of Our Mother Perpetual Help are two. The first is that Our Lady's eyes are very large and her mouth is very, very small. Our Lady spoke very little, but when she spoke, they were such words of wisdom. Our Lady's eyes are very large because she loves us as a mother and she's always looking after her children. And a second aspect is Jesus holding His mother's hand with both hands. That symbolizes a complete and total trust in His mother. All of us, we know, both religious and laity, that over this past couple of months, there have been very significant changes in our society. Many things have been disrupted, and they continue to be disrupted. We see an element in our society, not just the United States, but worldwide, an element trying to create revolution and to bring down law and order, and their intent on doing it. These are not just random people that are going to try to burn or loot or destroy just because they have nothing better to do. There is a very organized and a very controlled effort to destroy law and order and, as I believe, bring about a new world order. And they are not just doing this because they are loosely organized. No, they're very highly organized and they're very well funded. This is not happening accidentally. And we see this unfolding right before our eyes. Very, very disturbing, not just for us as citizens of the United States, but especially as Catholics trying to live our faith. We see how quickly and easily they can try to shut down our churches, prohibit you from traveling, and dictate all the things that they don't want you to do. I'm speaking to the choir. You know all these things. What hypocrisy. You can't go to church. We don't want anyone to get sick. Got to stay in your houses. But go ahead and demonstrate. Go ahead and loot and riot. All that's okay, because that's the First Amendment, freedom of speech. This is absolute hypocrisy. But we have to look upon it as Catholics in a more spiritual plane. It's not just Republicans against Democrats, conservatives against liberals. Ultimately, it is the woman, Mary, and Satan. Satan's like an octopus. He has many arms to try to pull people away from God and destroy them, and destroy them spiritually. There are so many tentacles out there. The devil has laid so many snares. And this is one of the reasons why there is absolutely no doubt in my mind that we do not have an infinite amount of time to do the work that we need to do to save souls. We need to use our time and use it wisely. We need to do our very best to try to instill the faith in the young people, because they're the future of the church. We need to do our very best to live our faith ourselves and spread that faith to as many people as possible, because we're running out of time and we may not have that opportunity again to share the faith with others. This is especially incumbent upon priests and religious. As we know, our Lord, he was not going to visibly walk amongst men. He ascended into heaven, but our Lord knew this, and that's the reason why he established a priesthood. And after the priesthood, our Lord established the religious life. If anyone will come after me, Jesus says, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And from the very early ages of the church, men and women did that. Not just as priests, but as consecrated men and women to the service of God. On this feast of our Mother Perpetual Help, it is very important for our religious and priests to remind themselves of the desperate need in the world for grace. We will not be fruitful in our work if we don't live a life of grace. That's what Our Lady said at Fatima. We need to pray and to sacrifice for conversion of poor sinners. That is the very essence of the religious life, a life of holiness, a life of perfection. No matter what religious order, Franciscans, Dominicans, Benedictines, Jesuits, whatever, no matter what congregation you study in the history of the church, the very first and most important occupation is sanctification of the religious, that we become holy. And we become holy by receiving the sacraments fervently, praying our prayers, and trying to always do the will of God. After that, after sanctification and perfection, which is the most important thing, is the work of our apostolate. But they go hand in hand. Why? Because we know of all the works that a man can do on earth, and there's many good and honorable things, there's no greater work than working for the salvation of souls. That's the bottom line, getting souls to heaven. Prayer, sacrifice, and then actively doing our very best to spread the faith in no matter what area that we work in. When our Blessed Mother appeared to the Fatima children, she reiterated these things to them. And the Fatima children had a spiritual maturity. Even though they were just little children, they knew what was at stake. They knew that souls were going to hell. In fact, this coming month, as we celebrate Our Lady's apparition, the July apparition, at Fatima, Our Lady spread her arm, opened the ground before them, and they saw a vision of hell. Ultimately, my dear friends in Christ, that is what's happening in the world today. That is the greatest tragedy. Souls going to hell. And Satan has been so successful. It is so important for us to remind ourselves that this battle is between the woman, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and Satan. It's very, very important for all of us on this feast of Our Lady, Mother Perpetual Help, to remind ourselves the importance of relying on the Mother of God. Like Jesus, trusting Mary, holding her hand with both of our hands, having that trust and confidence in her. Not losing hope, not losing our confidence and trust. I've traveled a lot over the past couple months. I see it. People are afraid. They're very concerned, very disturbed. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's just being real. But as we try to be cautious and we try to be alert and watchful, let us also not become depressed, discouraged, at the point of like it's hopeless. Because in the end, our Blessed Mother's Immaculate Heart will triumph. The gates of hell will not prevail against Christ's church. And so in the midst of all this chaos and craziness and instability, we come to Mary Immaculate Queen Church here, and we see young people dedicating their lives to God, to the service of God. That in itself is a wonderful thing to behold. In the eyes of the world, they think, well, what a waste of time. What a waste of a life. But in the eyes of God, this is so precious. This is so wonderful and beautiful that someone will be willing to leave everything behind to follow Jesus, to leave everything behind to imitate the Blessed Virgin Mary, the humble handmaid of the Lord. So as we attend these ceremonies and assist at Holy Mass, let us give thanks to God and to His Holy Mother Mary for these religious vocations. Let us also remember to pray for them for their perseverance. Now that they've taken steps and gone, made a more firm commitment in the service of God, it's not like the devil's going to give up on them. Not like he's just going to throw in a towel and say, oh, they're done. Write those off the list. Scratch them off the list. Delete that. No, it's not going to happen. The devil knows the good that priests and religious can do, and he's going to work on them, even more so than the laity. And dear sisters, that's why you have to be on your guard. You got to remember that as you give your life to God, what does our Lord tell us? He wants us to bear good fruit. And if we bear good fruit, what does he tell us? He's going to prune the tree. Cut off some of those unnecessary branches so it bears more fruit. And what should that remind us? That this is a life of sacrifice, a life of the cross and trials and difficulties. With Jesus, you're nailed to the cross by the three vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. These are not just pious words. These need to be a reality in all of our lives. We have to be willing and ready to suffer with Jesus. And when our Lord sends us crosses and trials, let us not run from them. Let us embrace them. And let us remember that every trial or cross or difficulty is a splinter from the cross of Jesus that in his love he's giving to us. He's giving us an opportunity to suffer and sacrifice for those most precious souls that Jesus shed his blood on the cross for. So on this occasion of our sisters taking their steps, we thank Almighty God and our Blessed Mother. We exhort all the laity to pray for the sisters' perseverance. We thank all of these sisters for their great generosity in serving God. We like to also especially congratulate the sisters' parents. We know that vocations are fostered from good Catholic families. This is a tribute to your moms and your dads. I want to say, but your brothers and sisters, we'll keep them out of this, okay? But your moms and your dads. Well, maybe they contributed too. You think, I want to get out of here. I'm going to join the convent, you know. Can't say that for sure. We'll include them. Thank you, brothers and sisters, too. Somehow you and God's providence did something there. We might not figure it out until eternity, but we'll figure it out, okay? But good vocations come from families. And I just like to share with you one amazing thing. The amazing thing is that everywhere around the country, there are people cooperating with grace, finding the truth, and coming back to Christ Church. Just on Wednesday, this past Wednesday, I was in Dodge City, Kansas. Is it the boondocks? It's the boondocks. Do you get good reception out there? No. Did it take a long time to get there? Yes. Young man, I think we told you this story before. And if you haven't, I'll tell you again or tell you for the first time. But he was a modern Catholic young man, single mom, raising him with his brother and living with his grandma. But he went to church often. He's a very good young man. One day in his modern church, the Vatican II church, he, instead of seeing a missalette, he saw an old missal. And out of curiosity, he picked it up and looked through it and said, well, this is the Mass. But it is really different. This is, there's something more to this. And the long and short of it is that he began to investigate the Latin Mass and came to a knowledge of what's going on. And from there, he told his mother he was no longer going to the modern Mass. And he had a search for a Mass. So he drives 3 hours to, we have a Mass center in western Kansas, and start going to Mass there. He wants to join the seminary. He's very, very devout, very humble man. We visited with his mother and grandmother and himself and spoke about coming to the seminary in September. But before that, on the Feast of Corpus Christi, we had another young man from Tennessee. Once again, Novus Ordo, no background in Latin Mass or the traditional faith, none of that. But he had a very great desire to study about the church. And the more he studied, the more he understood the history of the church. And he began to realize something is not right. And he let his mother and sister, they worked together and prayed together and found the true faith. No background for this young man. It was he that brought his mother and sister to a knowledge of the traditional faith. There are story after story after story that I could tell. Time won't allow, but it's amazing. We're getting emails, we're getting phone calls from people all around the country realizing something is wrong in the church. And if it was ever clear, it's more clear than ever before. You talk to people on the plane and you explain to them We're Roman Catholics. We don't go along with the changes of Vatican II. And this modern Catholic Church has gone way, way off the beaten path, contradicting what God has revealed. And you know what? People have no problem with that. They say, yeah, there's something wrong in the church. I know it. And what you're explaining, I see it. I understand it. I would like to just end on this note. We're running out of time. And it's not like we have to go like we're a live nerve, you know, just in a frenzy. But we need to not think that we have years and years and years to do the work that we need to do. We need to be zealous. We need to be fervent. We need to be dedicated. We need to be committed to the work that God has given us. And with the help of our Blessed Mother, we want to try to do our best to save as many souls as possible. I have been accused. We're getting overextended. We're going to too many places. Well, let me just tell you this. We have priests coming up in the priesthood, and they're not wanting to sit on their hands and do nothing. You need to challenge youth. When priests are first ordained, they're ready to conquer the world, and you want to utilize that zeal. But with moderation and prudence, obviously, but there are many places that need the Mass and the sacraments. There's many Mass centers that we can establish even now if we had more priests. Is it a sacrifice at the beginning to get extended? Yes. Does it mean sometimes traveling a lot? Yes. But we have priests as they come up the ranks ready to move in and take charge with supervision. One of our priests, Father Timothy Geckel, been traveling about 10 or 11 hours one way to Arkansas every weekend for Mass. Teaches Monday to Friday, drives 10, 11 hours there, 10, 11 hours back. Now he has some very firmly established, they're getting two churches in Arkansas, and you can see in his eyes and in his people the enthusiasm. These are people that just got away from the modern church. They are ready and raring to go. And he's going to be permanently assigned there now. And we have other young men coming up the ranks. We need to have places for them, because these opportunities are not going to always be there. We have to take advantage of those opportunities when they're there and spread the faith. And not only that, but one other practical thing is this. I cannot support 10 or 15 or 20 priests in Omaha. They have to have places where they can be supported. And that's the other reason why we branch out. And we are going to branch out, because I need to support these men. And I can't do it all by myself from our church or churches in Nebraska. Can't do it. So in a practical way, the priests that are coming up being ordained, they need to be supported, and so the sisters. But on a spiritual plane, we don't have the time. We need to be ready and willing to sacrifice and sacrifice now to get these places established. And I think it was a good eye-opener in March when things got shut down and churches were restricted and travel was restricted, and you always had to be worried about, what state am I going into now? I have nothing against the state of Washington. I have everything against the governor. And I can say a few words about the mayor of Seattle, but let's not go there. But my point is, we need the time that God gives us and use it well and prudently and zealously. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. So we thank God and our Blessed Mother for the religious who have taken their steps, and all of our religious, thank them for their life of dedication. And let us always remember, no matter what life throws at us, no matter what problems, difficulties, crises, we go like Jesus to his mother, and we hold her hand with both of our hands, with total trust and confidence, and our Mother Perpetual Help, the Mother of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.